Ara Ara.
Hey guys, welcome back to the season 3 of the Ara Ara channel. And I'm your host, Vims, and with me today is my usual co-host, Amy. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing good. How are you, Vims?
I'm good too, and it's been so long, as I've mentioned in our intro, and I don't even remember when was the last time we recorded the podcast episode.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while for sure.
Yeah, and today, there's a lot of things that has happened to us over the past few months. We've been attending events. You've started cosplaying.
Yeah.
How was it?
I don't know. Like, I really liked it. I mean, I think it's fun. I really enjoyed cosplaying for the first time. It's because, like, we both started watching One Piece after ignoring it for so long.
Imagine!
Yeah. Like, both of us, over the years, so many people sort of telling us, hey, watch it. And we're like, yeah. And then we finally did. And then the first thing I will cosplay is One Piece. Yeah. And I cosplayed as Luffy. And yeah, I don't know. It was also sort of serendipitous in a way, because like I was outside and I passed by this thrift store and I saw this red jacket. What's it called?
Like a blouse or a top or something.
Yeah, like this red top that you put like over. And then it sort of resembled Luffy's outfit in The New World. I'm like, hold on a second. Like, that looks exactly like Luffy's outfit, like if it was made for a girl.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Why not? And then in the same thrift store, like, I was like, all right, if I'm going to do Luffy, Luffy wears sandals, which has like a black cross.
Yeah.
If I'm going to dress up as Luffy, I want heels that has like a black cross in the middle and stuff. It was there in the same thrift store. I'm like, okay, well, I might as well. So it was really fun.
And yeah. I like how resourceful your costume was, because it's mostly things that you can find in your closet. It's not something that you have to really have made or something, because I remember the time that I first started cosplaying, it was the same thing. It's just things that I can find in my closet. Doesn't have to be super fancy. And it's fun. Yeah. And I hope you won't fall in the rabbit hole, but let's see.
No, it's too expensive. I think it's sort of like those, what's the term for it? Wait, let me just search for the term.
Like the rabbit holes that we've been getting ourselves into lately, Amy, it's just insane. Remember the time that we were having collaboration with Otaku ME and with the Gundams and all? Like, I am this close. I'm this close to buying more. So I was like, let's stop here while I can still, you know, control myself, because I won't have space for the Gundams. Because see, even in my back, like I have the Funko Pops there and the Gundam is there. Anyway, oh, you were looking for the certain term?
I really forget what the term is, but it's like if you go to Disneyland, for example, you cannot fully dress as like a Disney princess. But you can, because then like you might ruin the experience for the kids, because they might think that, let's say, you're actually Rapunzel,
the Disney princess,
and then let's say you're being rude to the kid, they're gonna think like, oh, Rapunzel's really mean. So you can't really dress up in Disneyland, but you can wear certain things that would resemble an let's say you could, I don't know, wear
dress,
Mickey Mouse ears or something. Wear Mickey Mouse ears, and like your outfit can resemble her dress, but you can't fully be Mickey Mouse, for example, something like that, or Minnie Mouse rather.
Like close, but not that close.
I don't remember the exact term for it, but I think that's the most I would do in terms of cosplay. I don't think I would fully get into it. It's expensive, but then again, I don't know. We say a lot of things and we change over the years, so
like One Piece, and then now cosplay. I remember there was a time that I asked you, would you even try cosplaying at least once? And you're like, nah, it's not for me. Because, you know, I remember you saying particularly that you don't feel you would be into it or you would try it. But look at you now. So, yeah. Speaking of cosplaying, we attended MEFCC where, as you've mentioned, you've cosplayed Luffy. And I was cosplaying as Nico Robin. Look at us. I miss Trix. Suddenly, she was like the big One Piece fan who's telling us, watch it.
She was one of those people just telling us, watch One Piece, you better watch One Piece. And we're like, okay.
who has time to watch 1,000 episodes worth of anime? Like,
And now we've become those people, or at least I have. Like, whenever I meet people and they're like, oh, what are you watching now? And I'm like, oh, I'm watching the show One Piece. These could be people who aren't into anime, right? So, so I have to explain, like, it's this anime and it has like 1,000 plus episodes, but I swear to God, it's so worth it. And they look at me like, I'm insane.
Girl, to be fair, I'm now in Thriller Bark. So I finished Enies Lobby, Water 7. And you know, out of all One Piece episodes that I've watched, I really feel like Water 7 to Enies Lobby was one of the best arcs of One Piece. Mm. The way that they did the story. And bro, like after Enies Lobby, the way that they showed the old characters, Kobe was there, Helmeppo was there, Garp was introduced, blah, blah, blah. So moving on from One Piece, because this is not a One Piece episode. This is still the first episode of our season 3. I want to talk about MEFCC. So how was the experience like and how was it overall for the both of us? Because for me, it's my first MEFCC, even though I've been in UAE for like 4 years maybe. And I think you mentioned to me before that your first MEFCC was the actual first. How was the experience for you for someone who've attended MEFCC before? And obviously, I will also share mine.
When MEFCC was first here, I think I will still stand by it. I think a lot of people would agree with me as well that it was probably the best one. It was huge. Or maybe I'm remembering it from a lens where I was a lot younger. I don't know. But for me, I remember it being like really huge, and it worked a lot like how cons worked in other countries. Like you had a lot of celebrities just roaming around and it was fine. And they invited really big, let's say Hollywood writers and film directors and all of that. And they had their own panels. All these workshops were happening all at the same time. You could choose which one you wanted to go to, and there was a lot of competitions, and there was a lot of games, a lot of sponsors at that time as well. I remember back then Men in Black 3, I want to say, was new, or 2 or 3 was new at that time. And then there was like a game that you had to sort of pick. You know those games where like you have to match? And then I ended up winning tickets. And at that time, it was, I don't know if I won it individually and my boyfriend at that time won it individually for himself, or I won it and it was 2 tickets, something like that. It was nice. I was like, oh my God, yeah, we get to watch a movie together. But yeah, that was the first movie I think I watched together with my boyfriend at the time. But yeah, that's besides the point. But yeah, no, it was a lot like that. But as compared to now, where celebrities are like super exclusive now, you have to pay so much money, like a crazy ton of money, just to take one photo with them. For me, that's like
insane.
That's something I miss. Yeah, and that's, it's insane. I don't think anywhere else in the world works like that. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I feel like it's the same in the Philippines. Like, the free roam of the artist.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you pass by, let's say, Alodia, for example, you could just take a photo with her and stuff. But now, if she comes, it's like, oh, no, you know, you cannot, like, you'll never see Alodia walking around the con, for example. That's not a thing here. Like, the celebrities are in their own, I don't know, booth somewhere, and you can only see them if you pay to see them.
Yeah, true. So, I mean, I think in the Philippines, it's the same thing that you have to pay to see artists, and maybe the time that Alodia was roaming around was when she's not super popular as she is now, you know?
No, I mean, popular back then.
I mean in the Philippines, like how different it is, because obviously in the Philippines everyone in a convention will be able to recognize Alodia, but maybe here in the UAE she's not as popular as she is in the Philippines. So that's the major difference. But anyway, moving on. So for me, MEFCC, it's my first time attending. We've been attending events the past few months. I mean, not as avid as we would like. But I feel MEFCC is the biggest that we've attended together. It's actually fun. I just feel bad that we only went there for a day and we didn't get to experience a lot of the booths, because we went there for content, obviously. We shot our video for YouTube, and aside from that, meeting our friends, having fun. But it's not enough. The one day is not enough to do all of that. Like, I feel like next time, for us to fully enjoy the convention, we have to at least attend 2 days or maybe 3 days if we can. But since the beginning, I was telling you, Amy, that I'm not at that age where I can attend a convention for 3 days. Where do they get the energy? Like, this is not for me anymore, but let's see. Because, like, it's so tiring, you know?
Yeah, but I think, like, with MEFCC, because there was like so much happening at the same time, the 3 days sort of helps you not feel so tired and divide things properly, which is what I think we realized at that time, because we were like, tired. Oh my god. Like, can we just go home?
Because we were running from one place to another. Like, from there's both no ends. Yeah, there's no breaks. Because what happened was, I think we arrived around 2 p.m. if I'm not mistaken. Around,
yeah, because it starts at 12. That's the other thing. Yeah. Like, it's too short of a time for it to start at 12.
Yeah.
So
anyway, going back, we reached there at 2, and then I remember you have an interview with Yoichi Takahashi. That's why we were planning to be really early, but obviously since it was traffic and all, traveling from Dubai to Abu Dhabi, so you had an interview with Yoichi Takahashi, and then we took a short break. We had a picture taken with Iñaki, and then after that, shot our content, and then another picture taking, this time with Taz, Skylar. So it was like, you know, just running around the whole time. So now going back, I want to know, how was the experience interviewing Yoichi Takahashi-san?
Yeah, it was truly a very new experience for me. It was the first time for me to hold a panel, to be a moderator, and to interview someone as big as Yoichi Takahashi. For that, it just happened unexpectedly. It was like MAFCC reached out because of our content, of course, because of the Ara Ara channel. And because of that, they told me to like send a few questions beforehand, and I sent them over, and it was very related to Captain Tsubasa. So for those that don't know Yoichi Takahashi, he is the creator of Captain Tsubasa, which is one of the pioneers in sports anime. And then on the day itself, I met with the translator. We went through the questions together just to see if there were any questions I wasn't supposed to ask or if there was anything I couldn't say. So one of the things I couldn't say actually was call him Captain Majid. So for our audiences that are not in the UAE, Captain Tsubasa's name here in the Middle East is Captain Majid. And he is really big here in the MENA region. Like, people in the Middle East love football, and one of their iconic anime when they were a kid was Captain Majid. But that was the thing, I wasn't allowed to call him Captain Majid in my interview. That's something they told me when I spoke with the translator. I only had to refer to the character as Captain Tsubasa. Other than that, I didn't really have any questions that I couldn't ask. All my questions were okay. But the thing is, like, I gave like a long list of questions. Like, it was a really long list. And then the translator was like, this is a really long list of questions. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, it's just in case, because this is a 30-minute session, you know, just to
back
be safe.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, just back up. She's like, yeah, I think, you know, we'll not even do half of these. So like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. We get on stage, and then I'm asking the questions, and I don't know at this point if it was a translation thing or if it was the way he answered, because I don't know Japanese to know
what he's saying. Yeah.
To know where the issue, it not really issue was, but where like things got lost in translation, because the answers were really short, and I'm like, oh no.
No, but really, to be honest, that's how he answered. Like, when you asked him something, he just like, yeah. And then there's no further explanation. Or even if there was a further explanation, it's very short. So that's why I feel like even the translator was like, maybe she's also nervous. I don't know. But like, it was very short answers. So yeah.
I tried to like, obviously prolong it, just try to take something from his answers, but there was not much I could work on. And then next thing I know, I'm almost done with my questions, and then I still had 20 minutes left. I'm like, what?
That must have been the longest 20 minutes of your life on stage, and you're like
on stage. And then people are there staring, you know, and obviously, like, this is Captain Tsubasa is super iconic here. So, like, the audience is, like, really anticipating and, like, hanging on every word this man is saying. And now if I can't prolong this for the next 20 minutes, like, oh, no. I can't go like, hey, guys, this is my first time. I'm really sorry, by the way. Like, I don't know, peek in my brain, like, all right, what do I know about Captain Tsubasa that I haven't asked or that I haven't written down? It's one of those anime, for me at least, that I didn't follow the series, but I know about.
You're familiar,
seeing,
yeah.
Like, yeah, like from seeing on TV or something. So just like try to figure out something. And it was fun. The spontaneous questions actually ended up being more fun. And I think the like one of the most fun questions I asked on stage was
the controversial question.
That's a controversial question. I remember, oh my God. So I was like, I have a bit of a controversial question for you. And then the translator smiles at me, and then I see like the organizers downstairs, and they're just like, they're like hanging on to my every word. What the heck is this girl gonna say? I have a bit of a controversial question, and I give like the longest pause, and I feel like the organizers wanted to take me down. Yell at, like, stop, whatever that is, just shut up, you know. And then the way they were staring at me, and then the way everyone like
breathed.
I felt that on stage when she translated it to Takahashi as well. He also laughed.
Yeah,
and then he also answered, and I think everyone was happy with his response for that question. That was one of the fun moments. But I think also one of the reasons why his answers were really short was also because I think, like, his old age, I think he felt really tired as well. I've asked the people, like you guys, my friends who were sitting, if it was obvious for you guys if he looked tired. And for you guys, it wasn't obvious, but sitting next to him, I could tell how tired he was. I mean, I understand his age and like how long the event was. If we were tired in our age, for sure.
They are more tired, yeah.
The lights, the cameras, yeah. For sure he was more tired. So
yeah, and not only that, because imagine for us, we were tired shooting our content for a whole day. But imagine he was there, he flew from somewhere and then entertaining people, taking photos with them, autograph and stuff. So it's really hard. Definitely understandable that he couldn't answer in a very longer manner, elaborate what he wants to say. But yeah, overall the experience was cool. Honestly, like watching you, and I was like the stage mom, like, go baby, go baby. I was like rushing with my phone, and I'm like, let me record this, like, you know, like just the mom there sitting in the audience watching Amy recording I mean interviewing Mr. Yoichi Takahashi. So yeah, that was fun. And then next after that is we had photo session with Iñaki. So how was our photo session, huh, Amy? Huh?
If you watched one of our episodes with Trixie, I can't really pinpoint which one, you would know that out of all the One Piece live action characters, you know how like all the women are like, oh my god, Makeni or Cass? No, like for me it's Iñaki. Oh no. And then, oh my god, I got to see Iñaki, right? So I'm like, let me retouch my face. And this is literally right after my interview with Yuichi Takahashi. So it's not like my makeup's gone, but I'm like, you know what? I still have to retouch my makeup. And like, we were in line.
But to be fair, wait, before that, we honestly thought, so see, it's my first time doing these photos with artists, and it's probably yours too, Amy, but we didn't know that we can attend as a group in a picture.
Oh, yeah.
So since we are two broke girls, we were like, okay, let's divide and conquer, because they don't allow group photos anymore. Amy, you do Iñaki and then I'll do Taz. And then we were in the queue for Iñaki, and you're like, oh yeah, you can take photo as a group. And we looked at each other like, okay, let's do this. And then this girl, while we were in the queue, started putting on her makeup and like, you know, just checking everything. I cannot even talk to her. She was just like, and me being supportive, girl, fix this, your eyeliner, you need to, you know, fix. And she's like, oh, okay. And then when we went in, what happened next, Amy? Huh? Tell them.
So we went in, and then he goes, because I was wearing Luffy. So Iñaki goes, oh my god, it's Luffy. And then he's like, oh, you look really good. And I'm like, thank you. And then he talks to you, and he's like, no, Robin, it's Robin. And then you're like, yeah, you know, Rico Robin, that's so cool. And then he goes back to me, like he holds my shoulder, and he steps back, and he's like, you look good, it's Luffy. And then he pats my head. He goes, good Luffy. And then my soul left my body, because I do not remember anything after that. I know there were photos taken, but I don't know. I was gone.
Let me do the storytelling now, because for sure your soul left your body and you don't remember anything. So what happened was, when we entered, then as Amy said, like, oh, Luffy, you look so good. And then to me, he recognized that I'm Nico Robin, which I am surprised, honestly, because I wasn't expecting him to know or to have watched at least the anime, because not everybody watches anime. Let's admit that. So, like, I was happily surprised when he said that, oh, Nico Robin, and then took photos, like, one, two, three, and then the photographer was guiding us what to do, like, oh, okay, different pose, blah, 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 do this, yeah. And then afterwards, that's when he looked at you, you're like, good Luffy, and then girl, he was still talking to you, and you suddenly, you know, like, went out. And I was like, oh, Because he was still talking. He was like, thank you so much for your support. And what I had to do was like, I spoke to him like, oh yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. It's really nice meeting you, blah, blah, blah. And you weren't saying anything to him.
He probably thinks I'm the biggest snob ever. Like, I just went to take photos and went like, bye.
Yeah. Like, that's it. Bye. Without knowing that you were dying right at that moment when he touched your Luffy hat or your straw hat, you know? Like, it was the first time I saw Amy like that, honestly. Because I feel like you're the person who never gets starstruck with artists or, you know, with people or, like, having a crush with someone. I've never seen Amy like that, you know? And that's why the first time I saw it like that, she was just, like, dead.
Yeah. No, because you know me, like, I work with, like, celebrities or influencers. Like, I don't get starstruck. But it's like what you said. You never see me, like, have a crush or go head over heels over someone. I remember what I told you afterwards. I was like, if God says, like, hey, heaven has no free trials, you need to, like, die now, like, it's fine. I'd be like, yes, okay, that's fine. I understand. So, no, because I feel like when I like someone, and the rare occasion that I like someone, I feel like I'm Boa Hancock. She's a character that's very immune to, like, the male gaze or whatever. Mm. I mean, in that sense, I don't swoon over people or celebrities. But when I do, it's like the things that go on in my head, it's like, it's too much.
The voices are too much.
It's like the feelings are too much.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because yeah. See, I saw the complete opposite when we took photos with Taz. Complete 180. Mm-hmm. I swear. Remember, we were talking about how you were putting on makeup. You were so conscious. Yeah. And then, what did we do after photo with Taz? With Inyaki?
With Inyaki, we went to see their panel.
Was it right away?
Not right away. We ate a little bit. Yeah, we went to see their panel.
Yeah, and then sat on their panel. And then they were talking about One Piece, obviously. Like, how was the experience in Abu Dhabi and stuff. And then afterwards, we were in the queue for Taz. So right after that, I was the one retouching my makeup and, like, you know, fixing, oh, okay, do I still look okay, blah, blah. And this girl is just like, la, 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 standing there, like, not even checking her face in the mirror anymore. She's like, it's fine, it's fine. And the thing is, when we took photos with Inyaki, it was so fast. Like, tap, 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 that's it. Let's prepare something. Maybe let's do a pose with Sanji, you know, like, One Piece pose or something. Because, like, we didn't get to prepare and we didn't know what to expect with Inyaki. So, with Taz, we know how it will be. Like, enter, take photos, and that's it. Now, you tell the story. This time, my mind was the one that went away. Like, although, this bitch stole the spotlight.
I didn't intend to steal any spotlight. Because you know that I'm like, I was joking around as well when we were in the queue. Because Biz was basically saying, like, oh, you don't really care much about that. Because she was, like, comparing that I was just, like, standing there. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to take a photo. It's fine. And then she was like, you don't care that much, huh? I'm like, yeah. And I was joking. I'm like, oh, he's, like, my friend, like, from back in school. I'd just be like, hey, what's up? Oh, I can't believe you're, like, in One Piece now. One Piece, is that the show? You know? So, so yeah, we finally go in. He recognizes Luffy. And then he had his hand out. And he was like, hey, what's your name? And then I'm like, oh, it's Amy. And then he goes to Vivs and he's like, what's your name? And then she says, Vivs. Yeah. Vivs. And then he says, like, oh, Vivs, like, is that your real name? Is that for real? And then she's like, no, 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 it's just a nickname. And then we take the photos and then we also request, like, hey, is it fine if we take a photo, like a One Piece styled photo? And he's like, oh, should I go like this? And then he does the Sanji pose. And then we're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, after that, he says bye. And, like, he shakes my hand again, like, bye, Amy. I'm like, bye. And then we leave.
Let me retell the story, because when you tell story, that's not how it happened. I mean, it did happen like that, but you're missing crucial details. You're missing
crucial,
very crucial details that you tend to forget even with Inyaki, huh? Excuse me. So what happened was, we entered, he said hi to you, he was looking straight at you with those, you know, sparkly eyes, and then he looked at me, and then obviously he said hi, but he didn't say anything about me wearing Nico Robin. He didn't say Robin Swan. He didn't say that. No reaction like that. So I think he didn't watch the anime, which is okay, fine. He asked for our names, as you said, like, what's your name, blah, blah, blah. We took photos, did the One Piece pose, and then he said goodbye to me and then shook my hand, and then he lingered at you, like and he was like, oh, thank you so much for coming, oh, blah blah blah, with the hand like this. And I was like, and he was like, huh? Yeah, sure. Bye. And I was like, you didn't see the sparkle. You didn't see that. You know, like, that's why right after we exited the booth, I told her, don't come with me next time. I swear, I now have a grudge against Amy.
Yeah, no, more our editor asked us as well. For group photos. She's like, we shouldn't have found out it was a group photo. Like, group photos were okay.
Yeah.
Don't come with me next time.
Yeah, don't come with me.
And then our editor asked us, like, what would hurt more? Or what was more annoying? Like, if you went on your own and that was your interaction with Taz, or like going together with Amy? And then you were like, oh no, going together with Amy is worse because there's a point of comparison that you can directly see. Like, even if I told you the story, it wouldn't be the same as like
seeing. Yeah, because you don't see the sparkles. That's what I'm saying. I can compare, because like, if I went there and he replied to me, asked me my name, thank you so much, see you again soon, that's gonna be fine. But like, if I can see the difference of the interaction, I was like, I swear, no more group photos with you with my crushes. You see, the funny thing is, should we say this on the podcast? I don't know. Amy's preference is towards what?
Nothing in particular, but based on experience. Based on experience. So like, I never really realized I had a type until my boyfriend pointed out that I always had a thing for people with glasses. I don't know, maybe eyesight problems are a thing for me. Like, if they wear glasses for some reason, like, I always say, oh my god, that guy's so cute. And my boyfriend just points out, like, you know, he just has glasses on, right? And then, so that's number one. Like, guys who have glasses. And number two, it's not Asian looking guys, but guys who have, like smaller eyes. Like, they could be, I don't know, they could be any race, but if their eyes are a little smaller, like, I tend to find that really cute. Now, based on experience, though, the guys that have been into me have been more of the Caucasian race, or at least based on what Vivs and I have noticed from hanging out. If they were Caucasian, usually like, they would hit on me. So that was the thing. And then, so she was like, no, what? Like, we forgot that Taz was Caucasian. So that's why he paid more attention to you. And I'm like, I don't think he really paid that much attention to me. I think you're just seeing it that way.
You forgot what happened with Iñaki, and you're also forgetting what happened with Taz. I don't trust your judgment, honestly, with these kinds of things. But yeah, so what happens is, for me, I have a preference with Caucasians. Like, I like Caucasian men and stuff, but they almost never pay attention to me, or they almost never like me, you know? And it's really quite the opposite for us, you know? Because, like, I don't know. I don't want to talk about this anymore. But yeah, I just felt so brokenhearted at that time.
No, because like, the only thing on my mind that time was, because we came from the panel. Iñaki in the panel mentions that he was, like, where he currently was at in One Piece is, like, he's towards the end of Fishman Island. Mm. And I was also, when I was watching at that period of time, also towards the end of Fishman Island. And so in my Delulu mind, I'm like, oh my god, we're so meant to be. So Taz is just there.
Yeah. And Taz refuses to answer, you know, not refuses, but he's dodgy whenever he's being asked anything in particular about One Piece. Like, oh, which arc are you guys watching? And he's like, I'm not going to say, or something. So, okay, I understand. But for Iñaki, I feel like he's very much into One Piece now. And oh, by the way, there's a question that I wanted to ask you. So this question, I've asked this on a podcast that I attend on every Sunday. And I kind of felt a tinge of disappointment when Taz didn't recognize me as Nico Robin. At least just an acknowledgement that I'm also cosplaying One Piece character, unlike how Luffy did or Iñaki did. What would you feel if Luffy didn't, or Iñaki didn't feel as passionate for Luffy as we've seen? Or like, artist who is not as passionate as us for the source material? Mm. What would you feel about that?
I would be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like if I had a role, I would research as much as possible for the role, be that character, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't mean that I would fully dive into the entire source material. Like, even for my interview with Yuichi Takahashi, for example, maybe there would be people who would, I don't know, like, really binge the show before the interview. But for me, I just kind of did, like, a really quick research as much as possible for what I could gain in the small period of time that I had, and based off my questions on that. So it could go both ways, or it's like, maybe a super fan probably could have been disappointed in some of my questions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like, she doesn't know that much about Captain Tsubasa. Like, she shouldn't have been the one to interview Yuichi Takahashi. I should have been the one because I'm like a super fan, which perhaps, but it's also sort of, you can't be a super fan of everything. So you can only work with the resources that you have at a particular time. Mm-hmm. And I guess even with Taz being Sanji, I don't think he necessarily had all the time to really watch One Piece or read the manga and all of that stuff. He could have researched a lot about Sanji and how Sanji is as a character, but not necessarily have the time to delve into One Piece. So I wouldn't feel too bad. As long as he is portraying the character and giving justice to the character and people love what they see, I think that's fine.
Because, like, for me as a fan, most of the time, you will feel an extra connection of some sort when the person who is playing the role is really a fan of the source material. Let's say, for example, Witcher, Geralt, you know, having Henry Cavill play as Geralt. Why do we revere him as the best Geralt ever? It's because he knows source material from front to back. He technically tells the writer what to do. And, like, he has this passion for the craft that no other actor can provide for the show, which is, you know, what made him special for us. His dedication and all of the fine details of the characters that he has played was there. And now we feel a bit disappointed after him leaving the show and now being recast with Liam Hemsworth, right? You already have the best and now you will be served a Class A model, which, even though, to be fair with Liam, we haven't seen the show, but fans already has this standard of what we're expecting for Geralt. So when Taz didn't recognize me as Nico Robin, I felt that twinge of disappointment, as I've mentioned earlier, because I can see that he's dedicated to his craft. He did kickboxing. He started to learn how to cook to be, you know, very accurate to the show. Or anime in itself is maybe not his cup of tea. But I do feel bad if an actor says that they're only doing this because it's a job given to them. Like, it's just a role. That's it. As a point of view of a fan, but I cannot expect everyone to be a fan, but at the same time, just, you know, maybe respect the source material. Because, like, to be fair, they also mentioned this in the other podcast that I attend, that, who is this guy? Have you seen The Last of Us?
Yeah. So, Pedro Pascal?
Yeah. So they're saying that Pedro Pascal did a really amazing job playing as Joel in The Last of Us, even though he hasn't played the game. He doesn't even know The Last of Us as a game. So he still did well. So I guess it all depends on the person doing the role and how they translate the director's or the writer's vision. So, yeah, just had that thought in my mind because, yeah, that's it.
I think Taz does a really good job as Sanji. But yeah,
did you like his acting?
Yeah, I genuinely did. I love how all the characters translated their version of the anime into the live action.
Another reason why I brought that topic up is that even on stage when they were doing the panel, Iñaki was very much like Luffy in the flesh, like how he talks, how he carries himself. And I feel like, won't it be hard for him to get future roles if people cannot separate Luffy from Iñaki anymore? The way that Harry Potter is with
Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, you know, and Iron Man with
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, like that. So I don't know.
I don't think he would necessarily have a hard time getting roles just because we associate him with Luffy. Because, like, for example, we have Maisie Williams, who we associate very much with Arya. But after Game of Thrones, she got a lot of projects. Or, let's say, Robert Pattinson with Edward Cullen. And even till now, like, even if you still associate them with these roles or don't know more of their other work, doesn't mean that other producers wouldn't want to work with them, because they will still try to cast them into things because they know that super fans will still follow the works of this one particular person, and they could still get a box office hit from just having this particular person. So, yeah. And that's really up to the actor. If they start translating their characters into their other films as that character, like how you have Christian Bale. He's very versatile. He plays different sort of characters in different genres and different films. If you as an actor can translate different characters onto the screen, even if you had that initial association, people will still revere you as a really good actor in your future projects, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. But again, it depends on the actor themselves, right? If they can be as flexible. Because at the end of the day, it all depends on them. Yeah, because I feel like there are some actors who cannot get out of their role anymore. You know, very few. But let's see how this will pan out. Because obviously, One Piece live action will take so many years, you know, of their life. Yeah. Imagine Game of Thrones, right? And congratulate me for watching Game of Thrones for the first time ever in my whole life.
I know, congratulations. We never know. He could also be typecasted into certain roles. Like how you have Emma Stone, for example, who always almost has the same role in every movie. So,
yeah.
As that like aloof girl. Yeah, you know. So, yeah. I mean, he might just be typecasted into different films. It really depends on the projects and the actor themselves.
Yeah, so let's see. Let's see what will happen with the One Piece live action and also with Ara Ara. Anything you want to promote, Amy?
Nothing new. Just follow me at Just Amy Thing on our socials. And of course, follow the Ara Ara channel as well. And what about you, Vibs?
Yeah, so for me, guys, just follow me at Instagram at VibsBlackMage and also on Twitch at the same handle at VibsBlackMage. So let us know what you think of this episode and welcome back to the Ara Ara channel for our season 3. So watch out for our upcoming episodes soon. And yeah, that's it. Thank you so much for listening and you have a wonderful day. Bye!